Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back, 34 after. Thank you very much for being part of our day, for hanging around. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. Russell Brown is our guest. Russell is an old friend of ours. He's been with us for a long time, almost since the beginning. He's the author of Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business and another book, which is called Preparing Your Business for Sale. He's the founder of Business Book Press, and he's our good friend. Russell, welcome back.
Thanks, Jim. Glad to be back.
It's good to have you back. Russell is our business buying and selling expert, folks, as you can tell, and he joins us on a regular basis to talk to us about these issues. And I'll just remind you that even if you're not thinking about buying a business or selling a business, the things that we talk about, every single thing we talk about, is good information for running your business. So I hope you keep that in mind. Russell, we're going down through a checklist that you've created the laws of the business buying and selling jungle, and I think we're on the business valuation part now, aren't we?
Yes, we're moving into that. We've covered the first two. The third, which was just to recap, the lawyers are deal killers. We talked about that and what the implications of that.
I got some email about that, by the way.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did. I meant to tell you, I got some email from some people who took umbrage with our comment about lawyers being deal killers.
Well, they can say all they want, but yeah. If you let them run amok, they'll kill the deal.
Well, you know, and we won't rehash that. But I just thought that was interesting, and I'm not surprised. But
I've gotten some my books out there. There's quite a few copies out in print, and every now and then I get a phone call or an email from one or the other.
Yeah.
But of course, if you read the whole the context of the text, it clearly states that you absolutely need a competent attorney to help represent you in the business purchase or sale.
You just don't need them running the negotiations.
Exactly. Keep them out of the business side of the house and let them run the legal side.
Right. And then number two was?
Number two was a play on words, Latin words, caveat businessness emptor, which is let the business buyer and seller beware. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of little pitfalls and bumps in the road along the way, and we've talked about those and things that you need to watch for.
Right.
And later on in our discussion, in the series we're going through, there are 15 laws here. We'll talk some more about some of those, which I call the skeletons in the closet,
mm-hmm.
and which every business has, by the way. And so we'll probably talk, like I said, a little bit further about that later on. But today, the third law is a business is only worth whatever someone's willing to pay for it at a particular point in time.
All right. Why did you feel that it was important? See, that sounds so intuitive. That sounds so, well, you know, almost duh. But why did you feel it was important to phrase it that way?
Because there are so many people who get all wrapped around the axle on what a business valuation may say the business is worth or what they think it's worth based on how much effort and time they've put into the business over the years,
right,
or whatever period of time, and it doesn't. Nobody cares. Hello, nobody cares what you've done, how hard you've worked to make the business whatever it is. What they care about is what is the business doing. You know, what can I expect from this business after I purchase it?
You know what the magic number is, don't you?
What's that?
$1 million. I don't know how many times I've talked to little companies who wanted to sell their business, and you know, if you in the early days when you started talking to them about selling it, you know, you'd say, well, you know, what are you asking for the business? You know, whenever that part of the conversation came up, and you know, and I don't know how many times the number was $1 million.
Yep.
At that point in the conversation, you automatically knew that they didn't know what their business was worth. It was just that they calculated that if they could get $1 million, they could be okay after selling the business.
That's right.
Totally unrelated to what the business was actually worth.
Right. You can't sell a business for what you would like to get for it.
You can't go look. You can't go try to calculate your annuity for the rest of your life and then put that price on it.
That's right.
Now in Never Never Land you can do that, but not on Earth. You can't.
Not in the real business world. You cannot do that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let you in a little insider secret here, which you probably know, and it's a follow up to what you just said. Typically, when a business seller first puts their business on the market and offers up what they think it's worth, it's almost always double what it really is.
Yeah, I believe that. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend Russell Brown. We got more to talk about as we talk about business valuation. What is your business worth? Are you being realistic about it? Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us, for staying with us. Russell Brown is our guest, and his website is Business Book. Go ahead, Russell. Go ahead.
I thought that was my cue to come in.
It is. Go ahead. I'd rather you say it. Go ahead.
www.businessbookpress.com.
You say it so much better than I do anyway. Russell, and folks, really, that is an atomic website. There's so much stuff there, articles and resources. You can find out more about Russell's books. You can buy them there. If you buy a couple of books from him, he'll give you a discount, compliments of me, and he doesn't send me the bill. He's nice enough just to give you a discount. And then also, Russ, you've got a business valuation software program that I'd really like for you to tell people about, because this is a very, very important resource that's well priced, and it's just an outstanding tool that the small businesses can use.
Right. I authored this about a year and a half ago, and what I did is I took the process, as you know, I was also an extensive business appraiser,
mm-hmm.
and done many, many business valuations. And what I did is I took the process that I've used over many years, in which I've charged many clients $1,500 and more for, and just put it in a simple program, Excel-based. Most people have the Microsoft Excel program on their computer, and put it in that format and made it available for under $100. You can download the software immediately. It's like you can have it on your desktop and be using it in like 5 minutes of mm-hmm. purchasing it. So we've got everything cooking there. And what you should think about, business owners out there, even if you're not thinking right now about selling your business as you're listening to this broadcast, someday you will. And if nothing else, don't you want to know what your business might be worth today as sort of a mid-course check? I mean, where is it today?
Well, you can also find out how to start the process of thinking about how much your business is worth. If you don't know how, and you don't even know how the protocol should work, how the logic should work in valuing your business, your program will help them do that. It'll educate them. Their IQ will go up.
Exactly. And boy, I'll tell you, you can use this over and over, and you know, do what if analysis, and you can say, well, if I increased my sales and cut this big expense here, now what would it be worth?
Mm-hmm.
And then you could start to look at ways to tailor how you're operating to a point where you're going to get the maximum price for your business when you do put it on the market.
Right.
And keep in mind, you know, sometimes you may be sailing along never thinking about selling, but someday you're going to have to, or your estate may have to sell it. So,
right.
So it's good to know where you are and have some plans in mind to what you're going to need to do to get the maximum value for your business eventually.
The business valuation issue is a critical one, because it's where buyers and sellers get stuck, and as you said earlier, you know, whatever the business is worth, typically the owner wants about twice that much, and that's a big free fall, isn't it, down to reality, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's another saying in the business brokerage field that you never want to be the first broker in on taking a listing business for sale.
Right.
Because it's very hard to convince a seller that their baby that they think is worth $1 million is at best worth $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a difficult, difficult process. And many brokers find themselves in the position that they either have to take the listing at the million or not get the listing at all. And there's generally another broker out there that will take it. And the hope is that as the process of selling the business proceeds, that the seller will come to realize when he doesn't get any offers anywhere near where he's expecting them, that eventually he'll lower his sights and take the reasonable price if it comes in at around that $500,000
mm-hmm.
mark range. But in reality, Jim, as you probably well know, a lot of business owners, being tough entrepreneurs, are also pretty stubborn, and they'll hang with that and trying to get that much higher price for as long as they can. And generally, the listing runs out, and somebody has to be blamed that the business didn't sell. So couldn't be the business owner having overpriced the business. So they fire the broker and hire another one.
Who comes in and maybe makes the sale at the other price, or not? But the thing is, we have to realize that our businesses are not like our houses. I mean, a lot of home valuation is based on emotion, based on how we feel about it. A lot of people have houses that make absolutely no sense from investment terms, but in investment terms. But a business can't be like that. It's got to be based on real value.
Yes, and it has to. What are the reasons that people buy businesses? There's various reasons, but for the vast majority of people out there, buying a business to make money. I mean, stop and think about it. Why did you get into business yourself?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 99.9% of the people you talk to, when they think about it, it's the bottom line is you got in it to make some money, not only to make a living for yourself, but hopefully to make additional income to create wealth for yourself. And so if that's why you got into business, why would you expect a potential buyer of your business to have any other aspiration?
And to pay you too much money, to pay you more money than can be justified. And we're going to get a little bit more into some ideas about how to value the business right after these messages with our good friend Russell Brown, right after these messages, 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back.
People talking just the other day, and they said you were gonna put me on a shelf. Let me tell you, I got some news.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com, and my guest this half hour, Russell Brown, his website is businessbookpress.com. Check it out when you get a chance and find out more about Russell's books. He also has white papers that you can download from his website. Don't forget his business valuation program that's there, and he's just an outstanding resource, his website is, as is Russell himself. Russell, we're talking about valuation of a business. It's only worth what someone will pay for it. And how can you help us to sort of understand a little bit more about how to value our business? Just sort of some thumbnails.
Well, I think that the key, of course, is something called the available cash flow. It isn't necessarily the amount of money that you see on an income tax form, because there are lots of expenses in small businesses that are sometimes non-cash expenses, such as depreciation,
mm-hmm.
amortization,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of times depreciation is, although it's allowed but under our accounting standards and our tax law standards, it isn't a real expense. I mean, you don't even have to. A lot of times, the asset doesn't have to be replaced nearly as soon as the depreciation table dictates. So that's one set of numbers that you may have available as cash flow that wouldn't show up on a tax return. And then there's a lot of other expenses that are called sort of discretionary expenses. And anyone running a business understands this, and they know that most small businesses will operate such as to minimize reportable income for tax purposes. So the discretionary expenses don't have to be that. The word discretion means you don't necessarily have to make those expenses.
Right.
And, you know, to give a good example of one might be travel to, say, trade shows and conferences and conventions and things of that nature. A lot of times there's small businesses who can legitimately make a trip to the convention or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and deduct those expenses as part of a business expense. And it may be, in fact, good for the business, or it might just be a good opportunity to go to a nice place and have a vacation.
You know, Russell, another thing is it's quite possible that if you've been using your business for, you know, you've taken vacations while you made these trade shows and you wrote that off and you've been paying yourself a pretty healthy rent on the building that maybe was a little bit beyond market value, which you've been able to get away with, and other things, it's possible that when a prospective buyer recasts the statement, they actually could make your statement look better than it does for yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
So it could go in your favor, not against you.
Well, it definitely would go in almost all small businesses. It definitely goes in their favor. But you got to know how to do this. And, of
right.
course, in BizPrice, we show you hundreds of examples and exactly how to do that. So that's a process you got to think about when you're thinking about selling a business. And it's very important. So this concept of available cash flow. Almost all businesses are valued based on their ability to produce income for the owner.
Right.
I mean, there are other ways to value businesses, but personally, I advocate nothing really makes much sense other than the ability of the business to generate an income.
And is that EBITDA? Earnings before interest.
There's lots of different phrases and technology and terms in this field. EBITDA is earnings before interest, taxes, and
depreciation.
Depreciation and allocation.
Mm-hmm.
Amortization.
I mean amortization. Yeah.
Right. And there's EBITDA, and there's lots of other ways to look at how you arrive at it. But the bottom line is to always use common sense in this. And keep in mind that the business, when it's purchased, should be able to pay for itself, pay whatever that sale price is, pay it off within a range of 2 to 5 years out of the available cash flow after a fair market owner's salary is paid.
Right.
If the owner works in the business.
Works in the business, right.
Right. Not a payment for management of the
mm-hmm.
business, per se, but
right.
but if he's actually working in the business, fulfilling a job that would have to be hired out
right.
if he wasn't doing it.
Well done, Russ. That's a good way to end this conversation. Thank you for helping us with this. And we're going to continue this discussion in a few weeks and continue to talk about some of the buying rules and laws of buying and selling a business. Thank you for being here.
Okay, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Russell Brown, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.